just walk up to the mic and tell y'all how I feel. Y'all think I'm religious, I'm just trying to eat them. I don't live on bread alone, you hear it in my zeal. Down bad, but you got me better. G-O-D, that's the best three letters. Way you got me moving, I'ma need Rosetta. Keep your head up. And Lord, I lift my hands, I give all the praise to you. Everything I am, you gave me the strength to do. Lord, I lift my hands, I give all the praise to you. This is my response, oh, oh. This is my response, oh, oh. This is my response. You're making me pray, no.
Your love will never stop chasing after me. Your love. Well, good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day. But this morning, we want to honor all women in our lives, whether or not you are a mom or a soon-to-be mom, a spiritual mother. We just honor you this morning. But for everyone, if you would stand as we approach the throne of grace, we will sing together this morning.
Darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Truth and justice shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear. You've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place.
times we were waiting till unhealed without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame, tell this gospel truth of old, shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
And it's why I sing your praise with ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You Father, the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder the weakness, your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, you're clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, and free of all her guilt, and rid of all her known by her true name. And it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Hey, good morning, Mountain View family. Thank you guys so much for being here. It's so good to see you on this Mother's Day, whether you're in the room or online. Just thank you so much for joining us. Fancy Connect cards that are in the seats in front of you guys. If you're new and we haven't gotten to meet you face-to-face yet, we really would like to connect with you. So go ahead and grab that card and fill it out. And you can take it out to the table that's marked Next Steps and meet Pastor Craig. He would love to hear your story and get to know you a little bit. Also, if you feel like, I have a next step I'm ready to take, whether that's being baptized, or you want to join a group, or you just want to talk to us about your story and your transformation, that's what this card is also used for as well. So communicate with us, share with us. We want to journey with you. We have a few cool things happening for families. One of them is our Parent Playbook series that's coming up. So Parent Playbook is a thing that we're trying to do where we really want to partner with parents because we know parenting is hard, we know it's crazy, but we really think there are a few fundamental things that we can encourage you in and help you kind of take a deep breath and let you know you're probably doing an amazing job as a parent. But one of the things, one of the words that we use a lot is this idea of intention and intentionality in our parenting. So our next workshop on June 1st, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the ways that you parent and why you do. What are the things that are important? What kind of kid do you want to see your child become when you launch them into adulthood? And then have an idea of how you can do some intentional things to get there. So if you are taking care of kids of any age at this point and you're parenting, please sign up for that. We're going to feed you lunch and we're going to have a great afternoon. And then you know what time of year it is, right? Summertime's coming. I got to say it again. So VBS is on its way.
Did somebody say
no.
I don't know about you, but I am so ready for what? VBS, guys.
Yo. No, Ashley or Sydney. Oh, I'm trying to do a call to serve. I'm trying to get people to sign up to serve.
I'm here. Oh my gosh. You guys, you are not going to want to miss out on VBS. It is so much fun. You get to look super cool, almost as cool as me. You know, you can try. You can try.
You can try.
You can try. But we get to bring life change to kids in our community, in our church, and it is an amazing thing you are not going to want to miss out on.
All right. I couldn't have said it better myself. Here, wait, you know what? You're not wrong. But I was trying.
Can you hold this for a second? Thank you. You know, I take notes. Oh, thank you. Wow, what a great microphone holder. I take notes on Pastor Tom's sermons, right? And last week, he even said, we must look for as many opportunities as possible to point the next generation to Jesus. I mean, you have the perfect opportunity right here, right now. Well, not right now, in June, July this time. We started the party last year. We are ready to live it out this year, and we hope you guys can make it and join us.
Yes. Well, all right. I forgive you. Thanks for interrupting, because you really did it way better than I could. Let's say thank you to Sydney.
Thank you.
But in all seriousness, Sydney will be hosting VBS this year. We are going to live it out. It's a fantastic time to invest in kids, to invest in families. We are inviting more and more of our community this year. We're asking God to bring a lot of kids to us. We need you. We need you to grab that QR code and get signed up. And I promise you, there's a way for every one of us to serve. You don't have to have all the energy in the world. I've got lots of behind the scenes thing for you, so just consider signing up. Thanks.
Man, that's a tough act to follow. But I got quoted. I'll take that. And how many of you were exhausted even from the announcement that you're thinking, and now you want me to sign up for VBS, huh? I'm excited today. I just think, and I believe this, if you've been around me, you know I keep saying this, God is moving and he is doing his work in us and around us and through us. And if you've not experienced that yet, I just keep praying that God would give you the opportunity to experience his movement right now, because he's moving and he's doing things and he is he's inviting us to participate and be a part of it. At Mountain View, I want to just reiterate today something that I really do believe, and it's this simple statement that women are important at Mountain View. They just are. Amen. Guys, that was weak. Let me just give you that little prompt there for a moment. Thanks, James. Appreciate that, right? And seriously, I want to take the moment and I want to emphasize and remember, regardless of your situation, that you are loved. You are loved and you are seen, you are heard, and we love you. We really do. And so every Mother's Day, I try to think about all the endless options. And so I've got kind of the thing I like to share and remind us of, that if you gave birth this year, man, we celebrate you. We celebrate to those who lost a child this year. We mourn with you. To those who are trying to figure out what life looks like with a little one, most of us in the room can remember that, and we appreciate you, right? To those who have experienced miscarriages this year, we grieve with you, because that's real. To those who have walked the hard path of infertility, we walk with you. And to foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, thank you. We need you. Thank you. Thank you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, man, praise God. We celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, distance from your children, we share your sorrow. To those who have lost their mothers this year, it's painful. And we grieve with you. To those who have experienced abuse by your mothers, we hear you. To those who have lived through the testing of motherhood, like a child going through endless medical tests or just trying to pass the driver's test, we are better for having you in our lives. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you. To those who are single and mothering your children on your own, you are not alone. We are absolutely with you. And to those who are step-parents, man, we walk with you. And to mothers who place their children up for adoption, we commend you and we hold your children in our hearts too. And to those who are pregnant with new life, praise God. We anticipate with you. And although I can't write an entirely exhaustive long list to meet every need, I hope what you hear is that at Mountain View, women, we think you are absolutely important. And we love you, and we thank God for you, and we appreciate you, and you are loved, and you are seen, and you are heard, and you are known, and God has created every single one of you with purpose, passion, and intentionality. And his eyes are bright shining on you. And so thank you. Does that sound fair? What would make you celebrate? I mean, just absolutely celebrate like you've never celebrated before. And I think sometimes we immediately go to sports or activities, our team winning or just something. But besides that, relationally, what would make you absolutely celebrate? Would it be a family member who finally gets better after being sick? Would it be that a country is able to escape, you know, an evil leader? Is it friends who are able to avoid a natural disaster? Is it that somebody just automatically paid all your financial debt and it disappeared? Well, maybe that one right there. Wow. Would it be the job promotion that you've been longing for or wanting? What would make you excited? What would make you celebrate? What would make you jump for joy? What would make you whistle or sing or skip? What is it that needed to happen that would make you just be overwhelmed with joy? And I think one of the most famous songs that's ever been written, probably sung most likely by a mother, maybe quietly spoken and sung, maybe chanted, recited, read. We're going to look at it today. And I think it's the gospel actually before the gospel. And unfortunately, we look at this text not usually on Mother's Day, but we usually look at this text at Christmas. And so all of us hear it within the context of Christmas, But this is the deal. It was sung 30 weeks before Bethlehem ever actually happened. It was sung 30 years before the cross and the resurrection. And it's all about God. It's about His kingdom. It's about His kingdom revolution. It's about Him taking everything that is wrong and making things right. It's about Jesus, a child conceived, but a child not yet born. She warned in the song that a sword would pierce her soul, that she would lose Him for 3 days when Jesus is 12, that she would have to confront Him and tell Him to stop the nonsense and come home immediately when He was 30, but that she would weep and mourn and wail for 3 days, but then be overcome and overwhelmed yet again when He was alive. And although the song that we're going to read isn't about us, the song that we're going to read is for us. It's not about us, but it's for us. And even though Mary was simple, she was a young woman, her poem is not. It is not simple. Why this song? Well, I think we see it in Luke chapter 1. This is what it says. Verse 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of this servant." And she says, "For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy, holy is His name." And so Mary, right out of the gate, starts singing this song, writing this poem, where she's saying, God has had favor on me, that God has taken a very humble, simple teenage girl and has exalted me among all the other women. But it doesn't lead to pride and arrogance. She remains humble. And she goes on in the song. It says, "And His mercy, not my mercy," she says, "His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation." This child's not even born. And she says, "He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty." And she reiterates yet again that God is in favor of the humble, that His eyes are toward those who are humble, that God takes the exalted and He humbles them. And the humble He exalts. And that He feeds the hungry. And then she goes on, "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, and He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." I think Mary is dancing. And here's why. Mary had a dream. Elizabeth, her cousin, had a dream. Zechariah had a dream. As a matter of fact, the entire nation of Israel had a dream. And it was a dream that one day, someday, somewhere in the future, everything the prophets prophesied and everything that the poetry writers wrote, that everything that was spoken, that everything that was predicted would come true. It was their dream. It was their hope. They longed for God to restore everything that had been broken. And it was a dream that God would do everything that He promised the forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And for this promise and these prophecies to be fulfilled, the powers that kept the world condemned would need to be destroyed. And God would have to win over the battle with bullies and evildoers, and God would have to overthrow the power structures and the ways of the world. And Mary had searched the scriptures, trust me. Like most Jews, she probably memorized the Psalms, quoted the prophecies, especially the prophecies in the Psalms that spoke about the coming hope and mercy and fulfillment and the victory over evil and the reversal of the garden curse. She knew these verses. She knew them in her heart. She knew that someday God would come back to rescue them once and for all. And all of this is packed in this very short, complex, very deep song from a very humble, mild teenage girl. Almost every word is a biblical quotation that Mary would have been thinking about. From the time she was a little girl to now this middle-aged teenage girl. And this is what we know. Jesus will grow up and be the fulfillment of all of those promises that she knew in her heart. All of the prophecies, and that Jesus would show up and establish a new kingdom with victory over evil. And Jesus will teach and he will heal and he will ultimately conquer death. And Jesus will warn not to trust in the wrong things, that Jesus promises that his kingdom is for all people. Everywhere, especially the humble, and that God's promise to demolish the mighty and exalt the humble will be fulfilled ultimately someday. And you know what I learned from Mary's song? I learned that God always takes initiative. That's who he is. God is who is Lord, and he's powerful, and he's Savior, and he's holy, and he's merciful, and he's faithful. And God will always show up and deliver on the promises that he has made. And it's about reversal. It's about God taking what's wrong. It's about God taking what's broken and evil and messy. And it's about turning those things upside down and making them right. Because God is in the business of putting broken things back together. That's who he is. From Genesis to Revelation, God is about taking what's broken and putting it back together again. It's who he is. And so then in Luke chapter 1, verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. This is what he does. He has scattered the proud. He brings down the mighty. He exalts the humble. And he fills the hungry with good things. Why? Because that's who God is. When God sees a mess, he doesn't ignore it. When God sees something broken, he doesn't pass it by and say it's useless. When God sees the messes and the brokenness that exist around us, I promise he is there. So when we say to ourselves, well, where is God working and how do we partner with where God is working? Well, all we have to do is look where the broken, messy things are. And I promise you, God is present. So here's my takeaway. This is what God always does. This is what God always does. This isn't new information. This is what God has been in the business of doing from the very beginning. This is what God has always been doing. This is what God is doing. This is what God will continue to do. And so one of the things I'm excited about for today is to introduce you to someone who's going to share their story with us. And then I'm going to explain why she's here sharing her story with us. And primarily it's because we have been searching and looking and praying and asking God to lead us to some local partnerships where I think God is working. Whereas there's some broken things and some messy things that for most of us, we would prefer. I would prefer sometimes just to pretend didn't exist. But it's in our face. And so would you please give Rana Mall a nice warm Mountain View welcome as she comes up here today. There you go.
Thank you.
This is Rana, and Rana is the executive director of Transitional Youth. And I know you're excited to be here today. Maybe you can share your connection first with Mountain View.
Yeah, well, happy Mother's Day to all the mamas and grandmas out there. So my connection actually with this church is that my mom attended this church 10 years ago. And this church was very precious to her. And I remember her saying she knew this was home the first time she drove in, because there was a sign at the driveway that said, "You are now entering the mission field." And that was pretty impressive to her. And so I'm super happy to be here.
Yeah. And Rana sent me an email this week. We've been in conversation for a while about your ministry, which we'll talk about here in a second. But you sent me an email this week, and it said, "Hey, we have some desperate needs." And I thought, oh, man. You have to understand that one of the things I've been praying about is, God, how do we unveil local partnerships to our church here in the near future? And I love these moments because it's like, well, just ask Rana to come on Mother's Day. And that was Monday morning. Finally, I think about 10 o'clock Monday night, I emailed her and said, "Hey, I know it's Mother's Day, and I know that you probably have plans, but would you come share at Mountain View?" I was feeling bad about 10 o'clock, but at 1:41 in the morning, she emails me back and says, "Tell me more." And so here we are, and I'm excited. But Rana, one of the things that has attracted me to Transitional Youth, the organization that you lead, isn't so much what the organization does, although that's really important. But it's you, and it's your story. And so I'm wondering, would you be vulnerable enough with us today just to share your journey, your story, so that we can get to know you?
Well, what I love is that God is all about the story, the one. And it's not about the entity, the organization, the church, but it's about the individuals that make up his church. And so I'm honored to share. I think it's really beautiful that you shared about Mary's song. From what I understand, and maybe there's some debate about this, but Mary was about 14 years old. And that's the age that God met me in a very powerful way. But rewind a little bit. I was actually born into homelessness myself in New Orleans. I'm one of seven siblings, and there's six fathers among us, seven siblings. And so that will tell you a lot about my story without having to go into the messy details. I lived in our car for the first 7 years of my life. My dad was abusive. He was an addict. And my mom had actually been diagnosed with schizophrenia and was very ill emotionally and mentally, did her very best. But for the first 7 years of my life, we lived in our car. And at one point, he tried to kill her. My mom had already walked away from my first three siblings, and she managed to hold on to four of us for a little while longer until eventually she couldn't. But at one point, my dad did try to take my mom's life, and she knew she needed to run. And for some reason, Portland was on her mind, because we'd been all over the country in this car, or several cars. But she made it here, and then she ran from him. And I was seven when we landed in Portland. I'm really thankful that we're here. And then a few years later, he walked out, and he never came back, and I never knew what happened to him until many years later when I found out he'd passed away. And I never understood that, but the Lord showed me he was protecting me. So then fast forward, I started using drugs at a very young age, at 12 years old. By the time I was 13, I was on the streets of Portland. My mom ended up giving up another sibling and told me that I was next. And I said, okay, I'm going to beat you to the punch. And I ran and ended up in JDH. And my mom came and signed me out and said, I can't afford you. You're on your own again. And so at 13, I was completely on my own on the streets of Portland, not very far from here. And again, using drugs, homeless, sleeping under a bridge, actually. And by the time I was 14, the age that Mary was, I was pregnant. And again, I was on the streets using drugs, pregnant, and absolutely hopeless and helpless. And I remember one day, vividly, walking down the street and falling. And I didn't trip, I just fell. And all of a sudden, I was in my right mind. I was sober, I was in my right mind, maybe for the first time in my life. And I heard the words, "This baby isn't going anywhere." And because I was sober and in my right mind, I heard this voice. And I said, okay, God, if that's you, then I need help. And that's the place that the Lord met me, in this very messy, broken-hearted place. And I won't go into all the details as to what happened after that, except for he rescued me. And I found places to hide and begin to protect this baby rather than trying to kill this baby. What I love about this, too, is that God didn't say to me not knowing who he was, this baby isn't going anywhere and you can't get an abortion and you need to do this, this, and this, and this. He just gave me the words that I needed to hear in the moment that gave me the next steps. And he knew that I would fall in love with this child. And so God rescued me in that place. And I knew there were so many kids out there like me. And so as I started to fight and strive and take the steps towards life instead of death, I just knew that I needed to come back. And so this is what I've devoted my life to today, is working with kids like me. And I want to say, too, that there might be some wondering where my daughter is today. She's actually at another church leading worship. She's a worship leader at a church.
Yeah.
And I'm the mother of 4 daughters and 9 grandbabies.
And that's what we learned from Mary's song. This is the business God is in, where he shows up, where the mess is and where the brokenness is, and where he can reverse it and provide healing and hope and help. And so that's led you to be a ministry leader for organizations that kind of try to help meet the in-between, the gap. And so it started out with, maybe we can start there, it started out with Breaking Cycles. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so I just have been in the ministry field, nonprofits, my entire career. As soon as I was able to get some keys on my belt in education and experience, and have had the privilege of working with a lot of amazing, wonderful young people. I started working for an organization 14 years ago called Transitional Youth, and I'm the executive director today. But there's another ministry that God put on my heart called Breaking Cycles Coffee and Bike Shop. Have any of you heard of Breaking Cycles Coffee? Oh, yay, a few people. So we're on 33rd and Powell, and what's wild is that Powell and 205 is where the bridge that I slept under is. And God is such a redeemer. He comes into those places and says, I'm going to redeem what is most broken and painful. And so our shop is actually just 2 miles from where I slept as a teenage girl. So Breaking Cycles is a coffee and bike shop that we use to serve young people 14 to 21 years old for job skills. And so Transitional Youth, the umbrella, we have 4 homes, Harmony House, and some of you have been to Harmony House as well. I believe your church served there with us about 4 or 5 years ago. It's for young girls. We have Fortify out in Wilsonville for young men. We have Vita's Ark in Vancouver for teen moms and babies, and then the Ritz Family Ranch in Yakult for young men. Breaking Cycles came under the umbrella of Transitional Youth after I founded it, and had been active for a few years. And we focus on the job training. Truly, our hope is to steer young people away from kind of government systems and dependence. I don't think that any one of us would intentionally or dream of taking our 18-year-old to a DHS office and saying, let's sign you up for food stamps and housing and all of these things. We teach our young people to work. And we know that that's God's design too. He says, you don't work, you don't eat. And so we want to teach our young people to work, give them a strong work ethic, give them life skills, give them community where they can thrive and break free from the enemy's plans to keep them tethered to a system that steals their very identity. And then also we have another organization called Faithful Friends that just came under our umbrella in January. And this is a mentor program for little children 6 years old to 9.
That's good. And here's some of the under the ground story, right? Because God has been intersecting Transitional Youth and Rana and Mountain View in a lot of different ways. Just last, actually it'll be a year and a half ago, Sean Tomei was here preaching in August, and Rana came to Mountain View, connected with Sean. It was a great partnership. And then because of Sean, they connected with Pete and Christy, who are the church planters at Restoration Church that we have talked about through Expand Northwest. And there's just been this constant intersection with Rana and Transitional Youth, where it's almost as if God was like, hey, Tom, you're looking for local partnerships. Hello. 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 And so then we have met a couple of times. And one of the things that stands out to me is the penny. And so tell us about the penny.
Yeah, so the penny is really precious to us. Something that God put on my heart when he kind of planted Breaking Cycles Coffee and Bike Shop. And I have to say, if God's given you a dream, whether it's a dream that you're passionate about or a dream that you're running from, God can work in both. So the reason why Breaking Cycles exists, the Lord said, what? It was like Moses, you know. Moses held a shepherd's staff, and God used the shepherd's staff to set a nation free. I call it a stick, and if that's offensive to anybody, please forgive me, but I kind of think any gift we hold in our hand is just kind of like a stick. It's a stick. It's super simple. And Moses held a shepherd's staff, and when God said, what do you hold in your hand? It was a shepherd's staff. And so Breaking Cycles hold, what do we hold in this community in Portland? We love our coffee and we love our bikes. And so that's the shepherd's staff that Breaking Cycles holds. And so we use those as a conduit to share the gospel, to bring people in and give kids an opportunity to learn job skills. But the penny, the reason why this is important, if you visit Breaking Cycles, you will see 142,000 pennies on the floor. We decided to use the penny to lay a floor. And the reason is because pennies, I understand that they may not be in production anymore. I understand that it actually costs 3 cents to make a penny. And so I think they're going to stop in production. But the penny is something that we don't value. It's kind of worthless, and we just step over them on sidewalks unless we think it's good luck, and then we might pick it up. But it's certainly not a currency that we value. And I think the same is true for people that are on the sidewalks. And unfortunately, sadly, we step over people on sidewalks too. And so what the Lord put on my heart was to use this penny as a powerful symbol and a reminder of the value that we're stepping over. And so I actually put it in our logo, Transitional Youth. We laid a penny floor. We've covered signs and tables with the penny. And sometimes when I speak at churches, I put pennies on the chairs, which I didn't this morning, but you're going to remember this story. And so at the shop, the youth that we work with, many of them helped us lay this floor, and they've put designs in the floor, words, images, pictures, their names, dates that are significant. And you come in, there is a tapestry of absolute beauty.
God doesn't step over pennies. And he's in the business of picking them up and giving them more value than what they are. And that's really been the heart of Transitional Youth. And so you kind of mentioned the housing. What else does Transitional Youth do?
So we serve young people where they're at. And these are kids aging out of foster care. These are kids coming from really broken situations. And sometimes, truthfully, more and more we're seeing it's actually parents reaching out saying, help, I need help. You know, it used to be, I think, you know, I've been in this ministry for a long time. I've been in this work for a long time. It used to be the enemy would go after the most vulnerable, exposed kids. And I feel like he's going straight into the hearts of homes anymore. And so we actually even started a prayer group for parents that are just desperate and saying, I need help. And so we have sometimes pastors' kids come into our homes or our cafe. The enemy will go after what is vulnerable and attack our identity. And so what we do at Transitional Youth is give them long-term housing. We give them job skills. We give them life skills. We do outreach. We provide basic necessities, food, clothing, hygiene items. But really the whole point is to meet them where they're at and share the truth about who they are, that they are loved, and there is a God that loves them who actually gave his life for them. It's to bring hope and restoration just like he does for us.
And what ways can a church help? Like, how can we help? How can we partner? One of the things that's been important to me as we've looked at local partnerships, I think sometimes as an institution and an organization, we can think, hey, we're going to go and solve this problem. We have enough people, enough resources. We can go do this on our own. But my heart has very much been, there are people like you who are doing this, and you're doing a very good job. Our goal isn't to just go start something else that's like that. Our job is to come alongside of you and to partner with Transitional Youth and to find a way that our church can pump life and help and some of that hope into the work that you're doing. And so what are some practical ways as a church we can partner with you?
Thank you for that. I just have to say, honestly, we need the church. We need the body of Christ. We can't do this alone, nor do we want to. We don't want to do this alone. We need one another. The church needs faith-based nonprofits. Nonprofits need the church. I just think we're just an extension of the church. And so there are so many ways that the church could come in and support, and us support you guys too. There may be kids in your own congregation or friends of kids in the congregation that may need something, whether it be a practical need or whether it be housing or whether it be job training, mentorship. We can help you too. We need each other. And so on a basic level, I will share a couple of practical needs. We've had three of our vehicles in the last 2 or 3 months blow up. We need a van. So if there's someone out there with an inexpensive van or an extra van in their driveway, we need a van. The other thing is we have, especially as of the last few months, as Faithful Friends has come under our umbrella, there's some real financial need. And I have never in the 14 years I've been with this ministry or ever before that stood on a stage and said, hey, we really need financial support ever. But today, if the Lord is leading you in that way, we could really use that too. And then prayer. Boy, oh boy. We actually have a prayer sponsorship program that a group that is already meeting every week, a men's group, a women's group, a Bible study, you guys are already congregating every single week. If you could take 5 minutes during that corporate meeting to pray over one of our homes or programs, and I can give you more information about that. It's simply just prayer, but it is the most powerful and beautiful thing you can give. And then I say, whatever your kids need, that's exactly what our kids need, whether it be mentorship, a drive to church. If there's someone here that would like to go pick up one of our girls at Harmony House, which is just about 15 minutes from here, and bring them here, maybe to a doctor's appointment or a group to come in, a few ladies to teach them how to cook a meal. Anything that your kids need, that's exactly what ours need.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we're really going to solidify some of this as we go into the fall with our groups and give them, make sure that we give everybody opportunities, especially even as a group, to find a way to partner and to help. But I know, too, with the mentoring, we have tried, I think, as a church through the years to create mentoring programs that have flown like a lead balloon, all right? But you guys have figured it out. And what I've been praying for specifically is that this weekend, with Rana sharing, that maybe God would just tug on a couple of hearts to join that initiative and just say, hey, I'm willing to go through the process. There is a process, background check and a little bit of training so that you say certain things and don't say other things and protect both the mentee and the mentor. But that somebody here would just be, I can do that. I can invest in some time and a little bit of energy, a little bit of my resources into helping God restore and change and reverse a life that is hopeless and helpless. And so what else do you want to tell us?
Well, we actually have a banquet coming up June 2nd, and Tom and some of you, I guess, are going to attend. And so if anyone is interested in even sponsoring a table, there's more information. I have a table out here with flyers and folders and more info and a way for you to sign up if you'd like. So I just really appreciate you all very, very much.
So good. So good. Would you give Rana a round of applause and just... I just want to pray over you, and I want to pray over the ministry, if I could, really quick. God, thanks so much for Rana. Thank you for her story. Thank you that she's a part of work your work today because of the way you captured her on a sidewalk. God, we give you glory and honor for the way you work and the way you show up in the lives of people, the way you heal, the way you restore. God, the way that you have been about turning this messy, broken things of this world upside down and bringing healing and hope and life. And God, I'm overwhelmed by the stories of the way you do this kind of work. And I know that you're working all over the place and you're inviting all of us to participate with you in this endeavor. And so, God, would you help us as a church as we establish a partnership with Transitional Youth? Would you help Transitional Youth? Would you, God, give us opportunities to go where you are working and to do what you are doing? And God, we promise that we won't take the credit for it. We will remain humble. But God, we will give you glory and we will celebrate like Mary did when we hear the stories of life change. And so God, thank you that you love us and you embrace us where we are on our journeys. But you love us so much that you're going to take us to new places. And so keep doing what you're the best at doing, God. And help us get out of the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can put that right there. I jotted just a couple of things down here. As I think about Transitional Youth and as I think about Mary that we looked at, I think there's a couple of lessons that we can learn from Mary that we can strive to apply. And I think the first one is this. Mary said yes, even though she knew it would cost her. She said yes. Could you imagine an angel showing up to you and saying, hey, you're going to be the mother, the earthly mother of God? Like, could you imagine that? Could you imagine? And Mary's response to the angel was, yes, yes. Mary didn't have a clue that just a couple years later she would have to run for her life to Egypt, that Jesus would die on the cross, that people would be wanting to kill Jesus for the 3 years of his ministry. Mary didn't know this when she said yes. But she still said yes. And I wonder how many of us hesitate to accept God's invitation because the future's too unpredictable. Because we just can't see how God's going to work all those things out. And unless I know for sure how God's going to do all these things, I'm not interested. And yet, Mary, simple prayer. As I'm a servant of the Lord, here I am. Use me. How many of you today need to be like Mary and recommit to that? That I will say yes to God when God invites me into doing things with him, even if I don't know how it's all going to play out, how it's all going to work out. I think the second truth is this that I learned from Mary today particularly, is that Mary embraced love and she embraced loss at the same time. We don't like that. We don't like to live in the tension of this. Mary raised Jesus and she watched Jesus be rejected. She watched Jesus be hated. She watched Jesus be feared. And she watched with her own eyes Jesus be crucified. And in our comfort culture, we struggle. We struggle because we think struggle means abandonment. We think that if we struggle, God's left us, that God has ignored us. But I promise you, you look at Mary and you look at her life, God was even closer in those tough moments. Mary reminds us that if we want to be a part of something great, then love and loss come at the same time. How many of you have children? Yeah, you know the love of children and you know the pain of children, don't you? Yeah, how many of you have parents? That was your cue for everybody to raise their hand, just so you know. Right? But we know that love and loss come together. And so the invitation is not to avoid the pain. The invitation is to remember that God remains present within the pain we experience. And I think Mary's deepest pain actually became the world's greatest hope. Think about that. We celebrate the cross, don't we? As a matter of fact, in a moment, we're going to take communion and we're going to remember and celebrate the hope that we find in the crucified and the resurrected Jesus. And we have to remember that when Jesus was crucified, that was Mary's darkest, most painful day of her entire life. Mary's deepest pain is our greatest hope. The same woman who sang, "My spirit rejoices," at the start of her journey, got to know the most profound pain and sorrow known to any person on earth. Because the son she birthed, loved, she would also mourn, but he saved the world. Why transitional youth? Because Mary reminds us that our stories don't end with pain. Our stories don't end with sorrow. Our stories don't end with brokenness and the mess. God has specialized in taking what seems to be the end and transforming it into a beginning, a brand new beginning, because this is the business God is in. God puts hearts back together again and again and again and again and again. And sometimes he takes the same heart that's been broken over and over and over, and he puts it back together again and again and again. I don't know about you, but my broken heart's not a one and done thing that needs to be restored. And we get to join him in the business of putting broken hearts back together. Will you? Will you seize the opportunities and the moments to see what's broken and to partner with God and to help restore that? Or will you step over that opportunity like a useless penny that seems to have not much worth? And I find it fascinating that as humans, we would step over pennies while God is out collecting them. Is his motivation wrong? Or is ours? God, you are so good to us. God, I stand here today knowing that you have shown up again and again and over, and you have restored and you have healed what has been broken in me. Only for me to go and break it again. God, I am so grateful that you didn't show up and say, "I'm tired of fixing that. I'm tired of you breaking it again." But God, your posture is and always has been to show up where the brokenness is and to pull out the glue and to sort out the pieces and to transform us. And God, you're in the business that even if you can't fix exactly what's broken, you take all those pieces and you make something beautiful again. As Isaiah spoke, there's beauty from ashes. And God, that's who you are. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for Mary's example. Thank you that she showed us that we can say yes even if we don't have all the answers. Thank you, God, that Mary taught us that we can hold love and loss at the same time. Thank you that God, you sent your son Jesus to give us the greatest hope we could ever have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you right now to share in communion. You'll get a piece of bread in the cups at the table over here, one in the balcony, one back here, one over here. And I invite you today to eat the bread, to drink the juice, maybe to think about Mary for just a moment and think that her worst day has actually become our greatest day. That love and pain and grief and sorrow kind of all go together. But thank Jesus that whatever mess we are in, no matter what brokenness we are facing, that's not the end of the story. That God is writing his story and hasn't stopped. And so I invite you to go commune, take a few moments, and let the Lord speak to you. You're free to go. We've just eaten the bread and we've just drank the juice. And what I want you to do right now is just, you can sit there or stand wherever you're at. And maybe if you need to, you can just open your hands in this posture if you need to. But what I want you to do is just spend a moment, maybe with your eyes closed, and just, would you let God whisper to you right now how much he loves you? Would you let him speak into your situations right now that he is with you, that you're not in this by yourself? Don't think about anything else. Just let God right now, through the power of his Holy Spirit, remind you that you are precious and that you are loved. And that if he had to send his son to the cross all over again for you, he would do it without thinking twice. Let him love on you for just a moment.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turned his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to
free indeed.
child of God. Yes, I am. Free as He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. And while I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died.
Got to hear from Rana today, and so there was a couple things that were some specific needs, and so if any of those things tugged at your heart today, she will be in the foyer over by the Next Steps station, and she'll be over there and would just love an opportunity to share more with you and give you that opportunity for whatever God is pulling on your heart for. And so if you want to take that next step today, she will be out there and ready for you. If you have not taken a next step here with us at Mountain View, reminder, fill out your Connect card. We want to know that you are here with us. We want to know that how to take a next step with you. And so you can do that by filling that out, and then on the backside, clicking one of these boxes. You can join a group or serve alongside us. And so do that, and then take it out to the Next Steps table. Tom said it best, motherhood. It just looks different. It feels different. It looks different for every single one of us. And so wherever you are at on that journey, to all the women in this room, happy Mother's Day. We want to celebrate, mourn with you, and we are here with you. And so happy Mother's Day. We have a special little thing for you in the foyer on the left-hand side. You get an opportunity to spin the wheel for a special little prize, just to say happy Mother's Day. And so please don't miss out on a special gift for you. We appreciate all of you being here today. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
In the silence, you won't let go. In the quest. questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea.